This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media Medical News Network. We're about to speak to James Woodburn, MD, Chief Medical Officer of Minute Clinic. Welcome to Utopia Media Medical News Network.
Thank you very much.
Talk to us about the market and demographic trends that have made it appropriate for mini clinics like Minute Clinic to emerge.
Sure. Well, thank you for the opportunity. Minute Clinic began about 5 years ago as a concept in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And up until this point in time, we've seen almost 300,000 patients. And we've discovered quite a bit around the needs of patients that have come to see us and have appreciated the care that they've received. Primarily, our demographics are parents with kids, both of them working with very hectic personal and social lives, where taking the time to go and wait in a physician's office can be very difficult. And with our convenient access in retail locations such as pharmacies, grocery stores, we make access very easy. Our clinics are designed so that every visit is about 15 minutes in length. We treat a very narrow spectrum of common family illnesses such as strep throat, pink eye, ear infections. And knowing that it only takes about 15 minutes per visit, our patients with their busy lives can stop into those retail centers, put their name on a list if they can't be seen right away, do a little bit of shopping while they're out there, and then we'll call them in, do the evaluation, the diagnosis, and the treatment, and they're on their way.
Okay, so these Minute Clinics are in locations where people who are going to need the service are going anyway.
That's exactly right. We try to find places and hosts where people live, work, or play, where there's easy parking, good lighting, and a place that they're very comfortable and familiar with from a shopping and location standpoint.
Okay, and in terms of scheduling, rather than having to call ahead by weeks to get an appointment with the doctor, especially when there's sort of an urgent need, how does the scheduling work? Is it all walk-in? Can people make appointments? If there's more clientele than can be handled immediately, do people get beepers? Do they get paged over the loudspeaker in the venue? Or
sure,
how does all that work?
Sure, you bet. Let me tell you. People, it's a walk-in service primarily. So you walk in, chances are that there's no one in front of you. Walk right in, see the nurse practitioner, and get treated. If there is a couple people ahead of you, you jot your first name down, and either we'll give you a pager. Many of our retail hosts have pagers so that you can do some other shopping or do what you need to do, and we'll page you when your time is up, or we'll take a cell phone number and give you a call. We don't do any announcing over the loudspeaker. We try to protect the privacy and confidentiality of our patients at every point.
Right.
But primarily, it is a walk-in. You put your name down. You're seen in the next available slot.
Okay. And what about pricing as it compares with emergency rooms, as it compares with regular office visits, mm-hmm. and what's the insurance situation availability with this service?
Yep. As we've looked around the country, we are 80% less expensive than an emergency room. Typically, for the things that we treat, the cost on average might be $300 or $350 in an emergency room. Our prices range from $49 to $59 per service. Some of the vaccinations are a little bit more expensive because the vaccine is more expensive, but that's the price range for the services and the care that we render. And even when you compare it to an urgent care, those costs can run $100 to $150 per visit. And even in the family practice clinics, we're typically 20 to 40% less expensive than those sites as well. We're in network with most of the major health insurance companies in the locations that we're at today, and we're reaching out to those health insurance companies in the states that we're opening up in, so that we can become a network provider every place that we're located.
how do mini clinics, and in particular MinuteClinic, differ from a, I don't want to use the word traditional or even the term itself, but a doc in a box kind of operation? What are the differences between what you're doing and that?
Well, we look at ourselves as a new niche in the healthcare delivery system. We do see ourselves as unique. And part of the features or characteristics of our clinics that make us unique is, one, all of our clinics are staffed by nurse practitioners. In most locations in Minnesota, we have nurse practitioners as well as physicians' assistants that staff the clinics.
Go ahead. Tell our listeners, what is a nurse practitioner? What kind of training do they have?
Sure.
And what are they qualified and able to do?
Yep. Nurse practitioners are licensed and certified in each of the 50 states. Nurse practitioners that work at MinuteClinic have RN degrees as a foundation. They go on to graduate school and complete a master's degree in nurse practitioning care. Each of our nurse practitioners is certified in family nurse practitioning, and as a result, they're very capable, very qualified, certified, and licensed in every state to take care of the conditions that we treat in our MinuteClinics.
Are nurse practitioners sort of the next most qualified and certified medical niche below a physician, below an MD?
I probably wouldn't put them in an order like that,
okay.
But they are...
How does what they can do compare to what a doctor can do?
Yeah, well, many of the things that the nurse practitioner sees and treats, and certainly in the MinuteClinics, are things that are treated and cared for by physicians as well. So there's a lot of overlap. I'm a physician, I'm an MD.
Right.
I work with the nurse practitioners, and each of us have, slightly different training, but we're both... capable of treating the simple, common family illnesses that we see in our clinics. And therefore, it's a nice complement to the primary care services that primarily are designed for more complex or chronic illnesses in the general community. We focus on fewer conditions and relatively straightforward and simple presentations of those conditions, and that's what makes the nurse practitioner a perfect clinician to staff our clinics.
What are the criteria and procedures according to which the nurse practitioners decide that something's above their pay grade and needs to be referred out?
Well, we don't base it on a pay grade so much as we base it on a clinical evaluation, history, and physical exam. The things that we treat are things like, strep throat, ear infections, sinusitis, bronchitis. We have an electronic medical record system that helps provide some guided interviewing support for our nurse practitioners. When we discover that a patient has more complexities or has, say, a fever of greater than 104 degrees Fahrenheit, those are a couple of ways that we and our nurse practitioners will triage out or refer out those patients to a different level of care, because there's something more that's possibly going on that takes it outside the scope of our narrow, limited family illnesses that we treat.
Are these clinics equipped with the equipment that they would need to treat, say, heart attacks or strokes or other typical ER kinds of problems?
Nope, and that's one of the other attributes that makes us relatively unique. We have a narrow range, and we're equipped to have a narrow range of services. So we're not a full service emergency department. For example, we don't have X-ray machines. We don't treat trauma, wounds, sprains, strains. We don't treat.
You don't do that kind of sports medicine stuff and people in Little League who twist their ankle kind of thing?
No, because many times those kinds of traumatic events require X-ray equipment and a greater degree of, capital-intensive support. We've chosen to take the illness approach to the very frequent and very common types of contagious illnesses, as well as some things like warts, skin rashes, skin infections as well.
Is that a potential problem, and are you doing educational or advertising outreach to inform people that this is not a place to go for a heart attack or sports injuries?
Yes, we are, and we've done it in a couple different ways. As we've gained experience over 5 years here in the Minneapolis, Minnesota market, that's an uncommon situation, very uncommon situation, where someone comes in and says, "Well, I've got chest pain, or I've got this cut that I'm bleeding." Really essentially never happens. People are pretty sophisticated, even though this is a new model, because we're in places that they've been at, such as Target or CVS Pharmacy. They get a sense of what is treated and what's not treated. But we also do outreach through employers that we work with, through marketing campaigns, through our promotional material, through our website. It gives very clear guidance as to the things that we treat and those that we don't.
Okay. Talk a little bit about the corporate structure. What was the origin of the company? What's your role in it? And is it privately held or publicly traded right now?
Yep. Well, I'll answer the last one first. It is privately held. I am the chief medical officer. I'm a physician by training. My job is to provide physician support and physician relations and clinical quality integrity, and I support the nurse practitioners in the clinics. Our structure, our CEO is Mr. Michael Howe, and he came from Arby's, where he was the CEO of Arby's. Our chief operating officer and founder of Minute Clinics is Linda Hall Whitman, and she's been with the company for about 3.5 years.
Okay. What trends are you seeing in the clientele that you have, and what are the host stores doing in terms of advertising to inform people about the opportunities that your clinics provide?
Yeah, well, the demographics seem to be a very common demographic in the locations that we're at nationally, and currently we're in Nashville, Baltimore, and the Minneapolis-St. Paul areas. The demographics have been very stable. We typically we see children all the way down to age 18 months, and we see patients over the age of 65. Although when you get above 65, there's typically other health issues that make the care more complicated, and typically we don't see a lot of Medicare patients, but we can if they're straightforward issues. The way that we advertise and our relationship with our retail host is one that's very clear by the rules, both federal and local. Where we rent space from our retail host, we pay for our own marketing material. We don't co-market unless we're paying for that advertisement, so that we have a very arm's-length relationship with the host.
This is a little bit like banks that are showing up in supermarkets, isn't it?
Exactly right. Exactly right.
Talk about inoculations and vaccines, and whether this is whether you see that as a growing part of your market, and how and what are you doing for the upcoming flu season?
Yep. The way that we approach vaccinations is we support the primary care, the family practice model, where we strongly encourage everyone to have a medical home, which means that you've got a doctor or a clinic that you can always rely on to go to if you have a health issue. And part of good primary care is to have a place and to make sure your vaccinations are up to date. So we like to look at ourselves as a backup or an adjunct to that primary care, and that includes vaccinations. So we do vaccinations for hepatitis A, hepatitis B, meningitis, measles, mumps, rubella, tetanus. We're also preparing ourselves for the flu immunization season coming up here in a couple weeks, so we'll have flu shots nationwide, as well as pneumonia vaccines for the elderly.
What you were saying about the arm's-length relationship with the hosts, what's the relationship with the pharmacies, if there are any, in these stores?
Yeah, and that's the important part of that arm's-length relationship. Every patient that comes in to see our practitioner at Minute Clinic is given a written prescription that they can fill at any pharmacy.
Right.
We don't encourage, we don't suggest, we don't direct anybody to the local host pharmacy. We let them make their own choice to wherever they go. We can call in prescriptions to pharmacies way outside of the host that we're at if that's where the patient wants to pick up their pharmacist. or pharmaceutical. But that's a very, really important part of our independence from our host, and that's to make sure that the patients that come to see us have free choice wherever they wish to go.
In practice, though, it's often very convenient if they are seen at the clinic and they get their prescription and they give it to the pharmacy and they go shopping at the rest of the store and come back.
Yeah, that's right.
Does that happen a lot?
Yeah, that actually happens more often than not. And I think the way that we view this market, and this is one of those other features that makes us very unique, is we're dedicated completely around the needs and interests of the patient. So if we can save the patient some time, time is precious for all of us, then that's a service that we, with our host, can provide to that patient.
Because there's a synergy there, obviously, if there's a pharmacy right a few steps away.
Yeah, that's right.
What about health education and outreach? Do any of these clinics offer, say, Thursday night nutrition lectures or preventive medical advice or guest lectureships or meetings or anything like that?
No, not in that kind of organized and lengthy type of format, but I'll tell you what we do every day. Many times a day, is to provide what we call a curbside consult, where you come by, a patient walks by, and they ask the nurse practitioner who isn't seeing a patient a question about medical issues, and we provide a lot of that type of one-on-one, very brief interaction between an inquiring mind from a patient or a visitor to that host and the nurse practitioner who's staffing the clinic.
Does that cost those people anything?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, that's part of our service.
Talk about medical records and the computerization and what you do for both your own network and how that those medical histories that are collected are made available to other outlets of your service and to the medical record community generally.
Yep. Well, we because we have a unique and narrow focus of healthcare, we were able to build our own electronic medical record system, with a lot of intelligence built into it, a lot of patient safety features. It's very efficient, it's very effective, and it's very complete.
And so very private and secure, too.
Absolutely. You know, all of our systems, we have a high sensitivity and strong philosophical foundation that patient information is extremely confidential, and we treat it so.
Does HIPAA come into this, and do people have to fill out, sign that same release that they have to sign in a doctor's office?
Yes, they do. And that that's part of the national, the federal regulations and legislation that has really improved patient confidentiality, and we adhere to that, as well as the state privacy regulations in every state that we work in.
Okay.
But you also touched on another really important part of the continuity of information. We ask every patient that comes in to see us, who is your doctor? Where is your medical home? Because we will send a copy of that patient visit information to that physician if the patient signs off and says that that's okay with them to do so. And we'll always send a letter and a note to that family physician or primary care physician about the visit, the diagnosis, and the treatment that was generated on that day for that patient.
What kind of safeguards relates to that as well do you have for adverse drug interactions? Do you need to know do you need to access other medical records in order to not prescribe for the patient's drugs that they shouldn't take in conjunction with other drugs they're already taking?
Well, no. Part of what we do is during the interview process that the nurse practitioner asks the patient exactly which drugs are they taking, what medical conditions do they have that are currently in play for that patient. So we always ask what medication the patient is on. We document that in our electronic medical record system. Then there's logic built into that that record that will notify the nurse practitioner and, in fact, block out and prevent access to a prescription that might cause a side effect.
So you've got a database that knows all about those, all the possible interactions among drugs.
That's correct. As well as allergies. So there's drug-drug interaction screening as well as personal allergic reaction and drug interaction.
How useful is this service for the uninsured, and what percentage, if you want to say anything about it, of your clients are uninsured?
Yeah, well, the majority of patients who see us do have health insurance.
Right.
But we do have a minority of patients, and the numbers are probably around 5 to 15%, depending upon the location. who do not have insurance, whether they're they just don't have insurance. And they have found it very helpful because our price is less expensive than the other places of care that they might choose to go to, and they very much value that that discount, and they see a lot of quality in the care that is provided by the nurse practitioner.
Okay. I've done some interviews with a company, with representatives of a company in Santa Barbara called InTouch Health that make a remote presence medical robots that doctors are able to use from their home or office and make rounds in hospitals and see and be seen in virtual presence by the patients. Is there any impetus or possibility that some kind of a telemedicine application like this might find its way into your operations, whereby patients could be essentially seen by doctors in remote locations who specialize in their problem, if that seems appropriate in the context of their treatment?
Well, that's a very good question. We've been discussing an application of telemedicine for quite a while here. But I'll tell you what our patients really value is when they're not feeling well, when they're ill, they very much value that physical presence of a concerned, compassionate caregiver. And we are not moving in a direction of that type of, virtual interaction with a clinician. We are talking about supporting our face-to-face interaction with telemedicine, but would not be a substitute for it.
Okay, and finally, what's been your expansion profile so far, and what are your plans that you want to divulge in terms of expansion of the number of outlets that you have? And
at the end of the day, down the road, a year or two or three, we plan to be in every state in the U.S., and we think that this is a market and a new domain of care, new venues of care that we think will be a permanent part of the American healthcare landscape. But for this year, we've opened up recently in Nashville. We'll be opening up in Indianapolis next week. We should be in a total of about 8 states by the end of the year, and probably around 60 to 80 clinics by the end of the year.
60 to 80 clinics by the end of the year.
Correct.
Okay, I want to thank you very much. Do you have magazines in the waiting room here for the people or not?
No, we don't. our corporate motto is you're sick, we're quick, and we don't have a lot of space for paper for people to browse, because when you're in our clinic, you're actively being seen and treated and evaluated, educated, and sent on your way.
So it's pretty much the opposite of having a waiting room. There's no waiting.
That's exactly right.
All right. Thank you very much for talking to us today on the Utopia Media Medical News Network.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.